I thought it was important that we have a Christmas gift for our families, and this is what the sermon is about today. It's a great privilege to be up here this morning doing my third Christmas message, and what a true blessing each one of those have been for me. And secondly, I'm very conscious that this message stands between you and your Christmas Day lunch. And Michael said not once, but twice, and I quote, "Les, this will be," and then he did it, this kind of pause for emphasis, "a short message." So let's go to the Lord, ask for discernment, watchfulness, and let's all of us embrace his word this morning. Heavenly Father, King of kings, Lord of lords, and creator of all, oh Lord, we are delighted to be here this morning, to be able to be present not only with you, but with our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Oh Lord, may the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. Work in our hearts on what we must be as Christians on this day. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit speak on my behalf. May no one hear my words, but only the word of God. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Doing this sermon as stated above really helps me in my Christmas day. But why? It prepares me spiritually in two ways. It makes me watchful for others and to avoid complacency in the Lord at all costs. And it gets me praying, and it creates a clear need and desire for the Lord, which really is very, very, such a great blessing for me. But you're probably thinking, but Les, you're preaching. That's why you need to be watchful and so tuned in. Yes, I agree. But it's an invaluable lesson for us every day, and especially today at Christmas. So, your Christmas gift for your families is not being complacent in the Lord and praying for that time, that opening for them to hear the greatest mystery, namely Christ, to be revealed to their souls. The true gift of Christmas this morning, Christ is here to bring souls from darkness to light. Last week I was listening to a podcast talking about the loss of Christianity in our society, discussing this very subject of bringing people from darkness to light. The host spoke of the need of those seekers to hear the gospel. And then the commentator said something really interesting. He said, and I quote, "The problem is not that people have not heard the name Jesus, but the real evangelical problem is that what Jesus they believe in, or which understanding of Jesus they think they are following." Think about this. Think of your family members that don't know Christ, or friends that you're going to be seeing over the next few days, or perhaps someone that's listening online to this recording. Which Jesus are you following? This statement really struck me. And if you think about it, there are so many understandings of what Jesus is out there in this world. Now allow me to give you a few examples. The Islamic Jesus, only a prophet. This is wrong and not biblical. The baby Jesus, celebrated today, but to what substance or value in those people's lives? He's not just a baby in a manger. The Jesus in which people believe in on their own terms. So, Jesus with human conditions attached. Or the Jesus we know is out there, but I'm not ready for him yet. The Roman one Jesus, the suppressed Jesus, and that urgent message, we'll just put that on mute. or the Jews, Jesus, I only worship on a Sunday, or that's only at Christmas time because I'm too busy to have Christ in my daily life. The list goes on. But this message of who or what Jesus is to follow is probably the greatest Christmas present or signpost to eternal life we as Christians can give to others. A gift to our families over Christmas. As Christians, we are example to others by showing which Jesus we follow. The only Jesus we must know is that which is revealed to us, the Christ, the Jesus of Scripture. The scripture in Luke that Michael just read, the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, as the glory of the Lord shone down on them, so the star imagery that Michael spoke of on Sunday, the glory shone on the shepherds. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. The shepherds were terrified. And in verse 13, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now, if you've got the wrong Jesus in mind, or not, so he's not the creator of all things, he's not the God-man, he's not this Jesus of Scripture, then I ask a really serious question. What favor is resting on those poor souls? It's darkness and separation from Christ. If you have the wrong or incorrect interpretation of Jesus, no peace will rest on you today or any day. Hence, as Christians, we must have the Christmas gift ready for the other who we meet. Today, I would like to give you a few scriptural nuggets to fight this complacency and being in prayer during this crazy secular time. And also this true meaning of Christmas, which seem to be kind of hitting against each other. Because we need to get the right Jesus known in our families. Christmas is a spiritual battlefield, especially when you're seeing family. So application one. We are all planning for 2026. And during this time now, we're reflecting on 2025. Don't let complacency creep in, especially in our relationship and knowing Christ. So the first scriptural reading, Zephaniah 1:12. I'll read it, and I quote, at that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left in its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. In our busy lives, sometimes it feels like we cannot fit Jesus in, or I didn't do my scriptural reading, or my prayer got messed up today, my prayer time. Jesus doesn't fit in a diary, and that's the beauty of it. Because we have a relationship with him. It's personal, it's now, it's alive. And it's eternal. It's not bound by a diary or this secular world. God is not supposed to fade in our day, in our busyness, and especially now in this madness of Christmas. We should not lose Jesus in Christmas. Listen to the imagery in verse 12. The dregs of the wine. You all know that. That small leftover wine you don't touch, the unused wine. I think it's a great image. As we practicing Christians are supposed to be part of the living vine. But our fruit should be the best of what that vine produces. not the dregs. The dregs is the wine that settles and sinks to the bottom. John Piper spoke on this verse just the other day, and he said, "This is Jerusalem," referring to us, the Christians, "is not aware of the looming day of the Lord, inactive as far as scriptural reality, embedded in routines of this world. God has fallen so far back into the background, he is of no practical benefit." Piper is spot on. Christ is of no practical benefit when he is in the background. The text says, and it talks about those who do not have Christ in their day and behave like the Lord will do nothing, good or bad. In other words, the ego inside says, "I got this. I'm in control of Christmas. Or I'm in control of this madness in my life." I had the most craziest 5 days in work, and it just finished up yesterday. And I was supposed to be on leave since last Thursday. The key thing for me in this loss, in this unstructured craziness, was Christ. I was in prayer and desiring him because I only felt secure in the vine with Christ. Needing him and desiring him, I enjoyed so much of Christ because of that attitude. And the result was fine wine, if I continue the metaphor. My output was good as per the situation required. And when those results came in, I was able to sit back and actually give praise to him in a work environment. We forget so often as Christians, it is that Christ is the main actor in our lives. We think we get out of bed. But what is the source of our lives now and for eternity? It is Christ. But he gives us enough grace and love for the other two, this gift. And it's our Christmas duty being watchful of ourselves, for our neighbor or others we share this time at Christmas. Listen to another Old Testament verse before I go into a few modern New Testament verses. Amos 6:1 says, "Woe to you who are complacent in Zion and who feel secure at Mount Samaria." Now, Mount Samaria was the northern part of Israel, and it symbolized idolatry and spiritual compromise. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, the very one that we're following and deliberately he deliberately goes to Samaria to speak to a woman and include them in his arms of salvation. Remember what he said to the Samaritan woman at the well. He told her about the living water. Spiritual and eternal life in him. He revealed the truth about her having five husbands. And most importantly, in that part of the scripture, he declared who he was, the Messiah. In the New Testament, the temperature increases on this issue of complacency. Read with me for a moment in James 4:13-17. So that's James 4:13-17. "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go and do this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money.' Why? Do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'It is the Lord's will. We will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows that the God are good, they ought to do it and who doesn't do it, it's a sin for them. Dundalk Baptist Church, today and every day, it's about the Lord's will. And that includes 2026, which is not written yet. As it says in verse 15, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So, if it's His will, we should not be boastful about tomorrow. Let's celebrate with our families today. As if it's our last day. Loving them. Cherishing them. And when you pull that Christmas cracker today or tomorrow with a friend or family member on the table, place that paper crown on your head. Knowing that you're a child of God, a co-heir, and your inheritance is only in Him, as Kevin expounded a week ago in Philippines. The second application for this Christmas season is prayer. Prayer for the times with our loved ones. These moments of opportunity. We can love our families at this time of year, but our greatest wish, our greatest petition that we have is those that are unsaved come to the Lord. How often do we do it here on a Wednesday night? We pray for those souls. Jesus, at His most needed time, prayed. Remember in the garden, as the disciples should have been watchful, Christ kept on going back to them and waking them up in His time of need because they were asleep. Today and over the Christmas season, we must be in prayer as we meet our families, our loved ones that don't know the Lord. And the ones that do not know the Lord, we need to pray, the ones that do know the Lord, we need to pray for their faith, that it grows even stronger. Folks, these are urgent times. Christ died for this moment today. The reason for Christmas is to be focused and watchful. Did you notice the importance of the words from the benediction on Sunday? It was Revelations 12:17. If you want to look it up afterwards, do. But I'll give you a quick summary. The dragon, or Satan, is enraged at us Christians. He is after us. He's after the offspring of Christ, those who keep God's commandments. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say to you, let's wear this badge that he's after us proudly today. So I'm going to conclude with a gentle dive into Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 6. And those who were at the Colossians course will remember this. As we learn in the Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Prayer is the focused path with the Lord. It ensures our fruits. Good wine comes from the vine in which we participate with Christ. We are not interested in the dregs. Paul, in this chapter, refers to prayer as the mechanism to do this. As in the next verse, he requests the Lord to do what? Open the door for our message, so that we can proclaim the mystery of Christ. Remember, each one of us here that are baptized are disciples. And the duty of a disciple is to create more and build other disciples. Also, brothers and sisters, you will be with outsiders today and over the Christmas season. Those that don't know Christ as you do, or know of a Christ without the message of the gospel. So the next verse in Colossians says, let your conversation be full of the Lord's grace and seasoned with salt. In other words, rely on the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit when you're with them to use you as a vessel. I close with a message to those that are obedient in the Lord to prepare you for this spiritual battle of today and every day against the dragon and this world. As you wear this badge of honor from Revelations 12:17, Remember who you are as Christians here this morning, as Paul declares in Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Enjoy today and these Christmas days of celebration in the clothing that Christ can only give us. Take that great encouragement that you are chosen people, a holy people, and most importantly, a dearly loved people by the triune God. Merry Christmas, Dundalk Baptist Church. And now let's be upstanding as we call out to those that are faithful, chosen, holy, and dearly loved to see the of Scripture. Sing with me now, Come, O Ye Faithful.